The West Live.
The West Live
with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Well, it's not just the justice system that has failed Annalise Ugel and her family. There, as Carl just said, are many broader issues at play, one of them being housing insecurity. I'm joined now by the WA Council of Social Services Chief Executive, Louise Giolotti. Louise, sadly, at-risk families are very common in WA and it's only getting worse, isn't it?
Yes, thank you for having us on the show to talk about this topic, Jenna. I think we're actually in the eye of a storm at the moment and it's only going to get worse. Yeah. I mean, we're hearing from REWA now there's less than 1%, you know, rental availability, and up to 100 families or 100 people applying for rental properties with huge queues and bidding wars going on.
It's really interesting because you speak to frontline services in places like Mandurah or Bunbury, and they're saying that they're already seeing families present in really dire straits. Have we ever seen times like this before, like even during the mining boom where the rental market was really tight, or is this just, and I hate to use this cliche, completely unprecedented?
It was really tight, and this is not new. I mean, one of the core problems we actually have here in WA is our social housing stock. You know, people would, you know, many of your listeners may refer to it as like Homes West stock, which is not called that anymore.
Yeah.
But social housing, we know the state government has given a commitment to, you know, build more housing, and it's, you know, it's in their state budget submission. But one of the things we've lost is how many houses have actually come off the market.
Yeah.
So in real terms, and it's really hard to dig into that, about how many houses, you know, in real numbers, has it increased? And it's not just this government, but previous governments as well. There hasn't been enough focus. So now we've hit crisis point and it's just going to escalate. We have well over 10,000 people on a wait list trying to get into a home.
God,
and that's going to get worse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess it's only going to get worse in regional areas, like where this story of the Ugel family who live in regional WA, where I guess it's even tighter in those areas. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, WA is such a big state, so there's different layers of issues across the state. Mm. So recently I was up in Karratha and talking with Aboriginal health providers up there, and their biggest concern was out in remote communities, which had lacked maintenance for God knows how many years. And we're talking some really basic stuff around sewerage. Again, there's been announcements in the state government budget about, you know, much greater investment and for, you know, for maintaining the housing stock they've actually got at in those remote communities, but they're in such disrepair. And we're in a really strange situation in Western Australia now because our housing market slump has been for so long, so there just hasn't been the investment in housing and rental properties, and that's what's got us to this point. We've had a huge insurge of people coming back to Western Australia from overseas and interstates, and, of course, we're all locked in now here in WA. This would be rather more minor, but as added to it, the number of separations that have happened through COVID where you then need two houses as well, we think that's actually increased. But at the same time, because we haven't had a steady growth in our housing and in trades, now all of a sudden trades are under huge demand. So even if we were to try and fix up every social housing out there, you know, that's maybe, you know, not being used at the moment because it needs repair, or out in the remote communities, there isn't the tradespeople to do the work.
Well, that's the thing. They're all busy doing those building bonus schemes and helping other people that already have houses build a second house. It's just, I guess we hear government and politicians talk about, you know, they're sickened by these horrible stories that impact our most vulnerable and there needs to be changes. It must be very frustrating for organisations like yours, Louise. What needs to happen in the immediate to short term to ensure that we're not going to see, you know, 11-year-old children are having to self-harm to get away from monsters that may be in their house or near their house, or, you know, families becoming destitute in WA, the richest state in this country?
Yes. There's not a silver bullet and there's not one simple answer. So the state government's done some really good things around, you know, the moratorium and not being able to increase people's rents and, you know, not being able to, you know, kick people out of their homes. But this eye of the storm that I was talking about is actually getting bigger because we know around what's going to happen with JobSeeker as well. That it's already been cut once, it'll get cut again, and then we've got the whole, you know, the cliff coming around JobKeeper. So some immediate actions need to be taken. So wherever as possible, the state government needs to be buying up housing that's out there on the market at the moment. So increasing their social housing stock absolutely immediately, that's one of their things. We're really big on a housing first approach, and the state government, again, they've invested in this housing first approach, and you know, it's out for tender at the moment. It's a build up from the an add-on from 50 homes for 50 lives, where there's been great success about getting homeless people off the street mm-hmm. and permanently into accommodation. We've got really a huge fear around that at the moment because there isn't the rental market there. There's also the broader community. So if you do have rental properties, if you're in that privileged position to own a second property mm-hmm. and you're renting it out, have a think about your responsibility through this. When the moratorium does end around increasing rental prices, what will you do to support, you know, families and low incomes and also developers? This is a whole community response. Mm. But the number one thing, I believe, is buying more housing right here, right now, to put low vulnerable families into those homes.
Yeah, it's we spoke a couple of weeks ago, Louise, when JobKeeper had just been and JobSeeker had been wound back. What have you seen since that time? Have services requests for services increased?
I think it has. That's what we're hearing from our providers already.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been wound back all the way yet. We've also got to remember that. So there's already increasing demand on our emergency relief, on our food providers. Mm-hmm. It will slowly trickle through. It doesn't happen immediately, but there will be a build-up. And when there's the next cut, because, of course, the federal government haven't committed to even keeping it at the current rate of $400, mm. which is still below the poverty line.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting Christmas, Louise. And I think we'll look forward to keeping in touch with you just to keep tabs on how this all goes. WACOS CEO Louise Ghialotti, thank you so very much for your time.
And thank you for bringing this topic up. I really appreciate it.